Hello and welcome to the Humble Brag Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Mendel, and I am glad to have you here with me today. The title of today's episode is Now What? It's another tidbit of insightful, spiritual, psychological, and emotional well-being. As you may know, this podcast is not all about spirituality anymore. It's not about health, well-being. We have conversations on pretty much anything and everything. I personally have a passion for health, well-being, spirituality, the emotional state. So if you have no interest in introspection, character refinement, things that make us happy, things that make us stable, then I suggest you shut this shit off and run, and maybe tune in to an episode that isn't in this genre. My previous episode called I Told You So, as I said in that episode, was a pretty hefty fundamental. The lesson that we learned out of that is a heavyweight lesson in spiritual living. And as I said on that episode, that if we were to say that there are 100 tidbits of knowledge for spiritual living, for healthy living, there would be maybe 10 or 15 heavyweight pieces, and then the rest would be small ones. What I'm going to share today, I consider a small tidbit. So in general, we have these pieces of knowledge, these pieces of information. They're small pieces of information, education, that could help us day to day in small interactions, in small occurrences. And then there are stuff that are like fundamental bedrocks. So I'll try to be clear with regards to how heavy, how potent I think the information is. With time, I intend to share a lot of the, you know, an accumulation of a lot of the spiritual insights and knowledge that has gotten me this far. I've been practicing spirituality, meditation, healthy living, substance-free living for many years. I can't say completely substance-free, although I ideally promote substance-free living, but I do drink alcohol occasionally, so I can't, you know, boast about, you know, complete substance-free living. But as a matter of principle, I believe in substance-free living, and I have successfully woven myself or weeded myself off of weed, cigarettes, and a bunch of other stuff that I used to use as party drugs or the occasional high. The only thing I suppose I still do occasionally is drink alcohol, which is a very integral part. It's a huge thing in Judaism. So let's just say that if you want to stop alcohol completely, it's a bit difficult. You know, when there's a kiddush every week in shul and there's a simcha every other day, and all your peers and everybody around you is drinking, and it's part of the culture almost. I know in some sects like Lubavitch, it really is part of the culture, but, you know, drinking is a huge part of Jewish culture, so it's hard to completely walk away from it, even though I believe that is a healthy choice. But in general, on principle, I believe in spiritual living, substance-free living. So today's tidbit is, I think, one of the smaller ones, but also a very important piece. I call it Now What. A lot of these ideas, or most of these ideas, or sorry, all of these ideas are not new ideas, right? They're obviously an accumulation of experience and knowledge combined. However, what I try to do, and I've always tried to do in describing these spiritual concepts, is to really bring it down to a very, very simplistic, modern viewpoint. Bring it into modern words so that people like us can understand it. So nothing I'm saying is new. It's just a matter of applying it to the day-to-day, to the modern tongue, if you will. The idea of now what? What is now what? What does it refer to? Now what is a phenomenon. I call it now what. It's a phenomenon that essentially plays out like this. You're young, you're motivated, you have not experienced life to the fullest. You haven't even experienced one iota, like even a fraction of what life has to offer. Say you're 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. You don't know tons about this world. You haven't achieved a lot. You haven't experienced a lot. You're just starting to learn, get educated, and practically all the information that's going into you is influencing the person that you will become. One of the things that you do naturally as a human is ponder, dream, and set goals, right? You dream about having a house one day, maybe owning a business, getting married, having children, maybe moving for some, maybe for some making an aliyah, right? You have all these dreams, all these aspirations, and it is the mere fact that you haven't achieved them that motivates you, that keeps you going. And you set out to achieve these things. And of course, life is riddled with difficulties along the way. A ton of things that you didn't expect come up in this journey, but you're growing, you're achieving, right? You become 18, 19, 20, you start dating, you get married. So all of a sudden, there's one thing off your list. You go from working for someone to owning your own business. And if it turns successful, great. Another thing is off the list. And in this manner, you slowly, slowly start achieving one by one your goals. And very often what happens is all these goals, all these aspirations that you had as a teenager or as a young adult, they start coming true. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself, whatever age it may be, 25, 30, 35, 40, maybe for some even older, 45, 50, 55, 60. But you find yourself eventually with having achieved pretty much all of your goals and dreams. And that is, of course, granted, you worked hard, you stayed focused, so on and so forth. You really, really achieved it. Very few people think to themselves along this way, especially if you're young, what am I going to do? How am I going to feel after I accomplished all of these things, right? And I've witnessed this numerous times, and it's very, very prevalent around us. When this happens, it is the cause of a lot of chaos, meaning when what happens? When you achieve all these things and you reach the state that I call, now what? Now what? You've achieved everything you dreamed about. You've worked your fucking ass off to get there. The way that you received those things, the duration that it took to achieve all of those goals didn't go as planned. And that in itself, we're going to get into soon. The dynamics of that is very, very fascinating. But the fact is, at the end of the day, you achieve them. You have the car, you have the house, you have the business, you have the wife, you have the kids. Kids are in school, you're making money, you're going to shul every weekend and hanging out with the boys. You know, you're doing cooking classes. Whatever it is, you've achieved it. And for Orthodox Jews, I guess you could say we're blessed to be able to achieve a lot of these types of goals very young. And a lot of us do, very young. And then you reach now what? You find yourself stuck in middle of middle age, middle of your life, like this unconscious feeling of what I call now what. Now, you may not interpret this when you're feeling this chaos or uncertainty or void. Let's just call it a void of some sorts, because you might not be aware of this phenomenon. You might just find yourself at 28, 30, 32, 35, feeling empty, disappointed, feeling a void, and you may not even be able to put your finger on what it is. And a lot of times, it's attributed to this phenomenon called now what? And that is because you achieved your dreams. Everything you dreamt about, everything that was so far out, everything that you just couldn't, like, it was a huge dream, right? To buy the $1 million house or the $500,000 house, to have the wife and 3 kids, to have the 2 vehicles, even your schedule. Maybe you sit and learn, or maybe you do personal prayer, maybe you meditate, maybe you do this type of stuff, right? You do healthy stuff. You go play tennis, you play volleyball, you play baseball. Whatever the dream was, as a young adult, it was far, far out. And then life happens. And if you're motivated and you're achieving, you actually end up achieving it. And then you find yourself in that place of void, because you may not realize, as I said, it could be completely subconscious, but you find yourself with a void. And it's often attributed to this phenomenon of now what? You reached now what? You reached this state, this stage called now what? So being that this is a real phenomenon that we as humans, almost every single human, will come across at some point in our life, and it could happen in waves, because granted you harness this and you start solving it with some of the stuff that we're going to discuss, you could find yourself again in 15 years in the same state. So spiritually, we want a certain semblance of equilibrium in our life, right? We want the opposite of bipolar disorder. We want everything to be fairly smooth, even emotional keel. And the way to achieve that with regards to this phenomenon is, so there's two things. I think there's two aspects to it. There's two aspects to how to deal with this phenomenon of now what? And then after I describe that, we'll go into a deeper level of intricacy that ties into this phenomenon. So if you find yourself in this type of place with this type of dilemma, alarms should go off. And this is really the purpose and the beauty of having the information, so that when you reach a state that would otherwise be unknown to you, alarms should start going off in your mind and you should start thinking, like, I need to do something and take action, because it's critical that you take action. What happens is if you don't take action, you fall into a negative downward spiral that could lead to bad activities, bad routines, unhealthy routines, and then subsequently sadness and then depression, so on and so forth. So when you feel these stuff mildly, even, you want to jump into action and ask yourself, what derailed, right? What's going wrong here? I was on a trajectory. I was heading somewhere. Now I achieved those things. My life is relatively good. So what's the problem? So when you get to that stage, you want to right away jump into action, because you don't want that, you know, negative spiral to go. Unfortunately, sometimes you do have to, it's part of the ups and downs in spiritual living of life. You know, you have your ups and downs. So unfortunately, sometimes you do have to take a big dip, and that could last for 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. But no, and one of the things we really, really know through spiritual living, spiritual practices, and spiritual education is that there will come a energy that will lift you back up. There will come a spirit of life where you'll be remotivated. So if unfortunately, you know, you're in that already, you're in that decline, or you're in that cycle of decline, you may not be able to pull yourself out. You know, in cases like that, I suggest you just, you know, you talk to God and you don't let it overwhelm you. I have times when I'm utterly lazy and I'm not doing jack shit. I have times when I'm not as happy as I would ideally like to be. you roll with the punches. When those times comes, you roll with it. You don't let it, you know, make you forget your principles and the ethics. So unfortunately, sometimes that happens. But if you get to the stage where you're noticing this before you end up in this decline, which it could happen many times over in life, you want to act right away. One of the first ways to solve this, I think there's two primary ways. Now, there's a lot of itty-bitty stuff, and these are dead simple. These are just life, call them life hacks, but they're dead simple principles. There's two ways to avoid now what, or avoid it from happening in the first place. And those two ways are the same ways that you solve them if it already did happen. One is goals. The other is gratitude. So there's two sides to it. There's the very spiritual side, which is that when we learn and radiate gratitude for what we have, and we continue to do so consistently on a daily basis, and we focus on the cup that's half full versus half empty, when we're grateful for everything that we have, this gives us a sense of inner peace. Because if I'm happy with what I have, if I'm happy with my lot in life, I'm not going out and looking for something else, right? So that's one side of it. We have to be utterly grateful and thankful to Hashem all the time for what He has given us, for what we have, for everything we've achieved. That's one side. And on the complete opposite side of that, the balance, it's all yin-yang. I'm going to do an episode on yin-yang. It's all about balance. You have to counteract everything with normalcy. The complete other side of that is to have goals, so many goals and such big goals that you couldn't even achieve in three lifetimes. And I'm being dead serious. A spiritual person who never wants to fall into that void of now what has to have more goals than they could achieve in two or three lifetimes. They have to be unrealistic goals. The height of them. Granted, you'll never achieve the height. In Orthodox Judaism, people are obsessed with being a tzaddik. The notion of a tzaddik excites people. Oh, I want to be a tzaddik, you know. I want to be the guy that sits and learns all day, that talks to God all day, that educates himself all day and is absorbed in dvekus and attachment to God and just, you know, really high up there. There's this huge emphasis that ultra-Orthodox Jews put on tzaddikim. So I'm using this as an example. If being a tzaddik is your goal, know that you'll never reach it, probably. But the fact that you'll continue to try is what keeps you in the game. In that sense, in realistic life, you should always have bigger goals than you could achieve. So these are the two sides of it. One side is endless gratitude. Thanking God, being grateful yourself for what you have achieved, for how your life is, for what you're manifesting and what's coming back at you. Complete and utter gratification and gratitude. You know, and thanking, being thankful. Wow, just really, really feeling thankful for what you have. And this creates inner peace. This creates less void. Now, on the other side of it, from the hishtadlut side, the side that you have to act and do and stay busy and stay healthy, you have to have so many goals and such big goals that you actually work on to implement on a day-to-day basis that you can't really ever achieve. If it's in business, I gave the example of the tzaddik. If it's in business, same thing. Your goal for your business should turn it into a $1 billion company. A billion. These days, with Jeff Bezos and Apple and all these huge companies and money going up to the sky, we already hear the word trillion. You know what I mean? Now people already say, I'm going to build a $1 trillion company. The likelihood of you even building a multi-million dollar company is low. The likelihood of you building a $1 billion company is very low. Not that it's not doable. It's just the likelihood, you know, just pure pure statistics, the chances of that happening is very, very, very low. Nonetheless, if you're a business owner and you want to continue to achieve and grow your business, your goal has to be to want to build a billion-dollar business. So it's really fascinating in that sense that you may know subconsciously or even industry-wise that it's not possible for you to reach a certain goal. It may not be possible. The industry, the entire industry, the entire sector might not be that large. You cannot achieve the billion-dollar goal, let alone trillion. You still have to have that goal. Why? Because that goal keeps you going. That goal wakes you up in the morning and basically never allows you to get to now what? It never allows you to get to that point where you have that void that I am calling now what? That place in life where you reach, where you're unsure what to do because you've achieved it. You've achieved it all. You achieved all your goals. So these are two major contrasting solutions, but they work flawlessly. They're simple. They're practical. There's nothing voodoo about it. They simply fucking work. Be grateful. Work on gratitude endlessly. And at the same time, you could contrast that by having a ton of goals. And that's essentially what happens. So as you start achieving things, right, we're talking about the young kid who's thinking about the car and the house and the wife and the kids. As you start achieving those things, continue to set big goals for yourself. If it's in relationship, maybe set a huge goal in your relationship. Maybe you really struggle making your spouse first priority, priority number one. So that could be a huge goal that you set for the future and something that you work on and chip away at, but constantly work on it. Maybe it'll take you 20 years to really get to the point where you make your spouse your number one priority in life. Maybe you'll never get there, but it is in the goal that gives you the motivation. It's the goal that gives you the motivation to continue to work on it, to continue to fight for it and struggle for it. And it's essentially what keeps you healthy and strong. Now, in the big picture, like if you zoom out in the bird's eye view, spiritually speaking, in like the big, big picture, it's just keeping you away. It's, I guess you could say, a mechanism to keep you away. These are fences, you know, all of halacha's fences, you know, tons of fences, keeping you away from doing. Well, there's two sides of it. One is getting you closer to Hashem, but the other side is like keeping you away from ever getting to the point where you do what is prohibited in the Torah, right? In that sense, these are all like layers upon layers from the bird's eye view to keep you away from a place where you ever fall into depression, where you ever fall into a dark, bad, destructive place. So those are my two solutions to this phenomenon that I call now what. Now, there's another aspect to this. A little bit of a more intricate aspect. When you set very, very large goals in life, and they take years upon years upon years to achieve them, the gratification that you think or thought that you would get from achieving that goal by the time you actually achieve it is not there. Okay, so this is an issue within a solution. Right, because we said the solution is make huge goals. Now we're going into a different problem. It's technically a problem of its own. These are two separate subjects, but I'm kind of tying them together because we're talking about goals. When you have huge goals and you have to work years upon years to achieve them, the gratification that you receive when you achieve them are very often not what you thought they would be, or what it actually would be if you would achieve it right away. And there's a number of reasons for that. Practically speaking, one of the reasons is because you grew, right? So for example, I'll give examples. I like fast cars. I want to have a fast car, multiple fast cars. Why? I think it's a thrill. Some people like going on roller coasters, right? Some people like going horseback riding. Nate Mendel likes fast cars. I like racing. I like the thrill of it. Call me youthful, call me whatever you want, but the fact is I enjoy that thrill. I can't afford a fast car right now. I can't go in to BMW and drop $150K cash to pick up a car that I want. But I never stop wanting that car, right? The fact that I like that thrill didn't go away. For some people, it does as they grow. For me, it didn't go away. I still think about that. Like every once in a while, I want to just go out and burn some rubber. Now, that continues to be a goal of mine. I want that $150,000 car because I want that thrill. Now, I might have to work 10, 20, 30 years until I could afford walking in and putting $150,000 cash on the table to get that car. When I achieve that, if I achieve it, I might not get the thrill that I would get if I had the $150,000 car now. And this is simply because, for one, I grew. I'm older now. So what I used to get a thrill from, I simply don't get now. That's scenario one. The other scenario is that sometimes our goals are littered. The journey to achieving the goal is littered with so much difficulty that by the time you get the actual, you achieve the goal, you have a sour taste in your mouth. Because it's momentary gratification. So then you'll have this feeling, was it really worth it? All of that work for this? Again, very real issues that people experience on a daily basis. When I started desiring Israel more than 10 years ago, if I would have achieved Israel within the first year or two of hard work and prayer, I would have been ecstatic. I'm not ecstatic now. But this is very natural. Now, I'm not saying I'm not happy. I don't want to feel the need to excuse the way that I feel. I'm opening up here. I don't mind putting this stuff out there. This is real, real fucking shit. I'm not ecstatic. I'm so grateful. I'm happy. I achieved my goal, right? But because it took 10 years and I've grown so much, and I've been through so many life difficulties and experiences that have nothing to do with Israel, by the time I get here, it's like, oh, thank you, Hashem. I finally made it. Now, am I grateful? Is it good? Absolutely. This is what I want. But the gratification, the excitement that you think you'll have, you may not have. And that's a very interesting point. Let me give you another example. I'm in the tech world and I've been working for years trying to get an investor, for example, on multiple different startups. And anyone who knows, you pitch to VCs, venture capitalists for early stage or seed, any tech business, doesn't matter what stage. It's easier in the later stages, but anything early stage, it's so difficult. You have to reach out to so many hundreds of investors. Nobody even gives you the time of day. It's a difficult thing to do. Every tech giant out there knows this. Like, for example, Airbnb was declined by some, I don't know, a couple hundred or 100 investors, or some insane amount of investors before somebody even paid attention to them. This is the standard in the tech world. So I've been experiencing this over the years. Now, recently, I have a startup called Oki. This is not what I've been looking for an investor for so many years, but it's kind of went from different ventures to different ventures. But the fact is I've been on the journey of looking for capital for so many years. I don't come from money. I don't have contacts. I don't have connects. So for somebody who comes from the bottom to try to, I guess you could say, raise capital in the business world is very difficult. You don't know anybody. Nobody trusts you. And you're trying to pitch. And it's all about pitching and trying to, impress people with money. So for many years, I tried to raise capital unsuccessfully, which is very normal when you're trying to raise capital for a startup. With Oki itself, I tried to raise for about a year, and no jokes, I reached out to more than 100 investors. I pitched dozens of people, and to all to no avail. Nothing, right? Now, God has his ways, divine providence, this, that, and the other happened. all of a sudden an investor fell into my lap. I pitched and they were interested, and I finally got my commitment. I got my investor, $1 million commitment, which is a huge commitment for a very early stage tech company. I achieved my goal, right? The first goal. I achieved the goal that enables me to continue to try to achieve a million other goals beyond that, just to get the investor to build the product that could potentially scale and turn into a unicorn. So that happened. This factually happened. By the time I got the investment, I wasn't ecstatic. If I would have gotten that same investment a month, 3 months, or 6 months into my journey, even a year or two into my entrepreneurial journey, I would have been jumping on rooftops. I would have been, you know, so excited, so happy, and it would influence, my whole body would be radiating. Because I was declined by so many dozens of investors, and because business is so difficult and I went through so many struggles to grow business and dealing with clients and so on and so forth, because all of that took place, and this is what everyone goes through in life. There's nothing unique about this. I'm just relaying my particular story, but this is what everyone goes through in their own way. Because I went through all of that, by the time, and so here's the thing. I was consistent. I didn't give up. By the time I finally got the investment, thank you, Hashem, I was very happy. I was very happy, right? It's exciting. I thank God. I'm radiating feelings of gratitude. But, you know, the gratification that I would have had, or that I expected to have, was no longer there. It watered down. It withered away. Now, I feel like I worked hard. I did what I was supposed to do. I didn't give up. I was relentless. And eventually, the investment came. That's what I expected it to do. So you see how that dynamic changes? When we want things, we think about the instant gratification of it. I want a fast car because I enjoy the thrill of racing down the highway in a fast car when I'm 18, 20. If I have to work 10 years to get that fast car, how much have I changed? You think you're going to get that same gratification when you finally have that car? It's not like that. You see, in professional sports, when people work hard for a year or two and they're in the Olympics and they achieve something, that's still while the fire is hot. They're dead set on a goal, and they finally achieve it. They break down, they cry. It's like, whoa, I achieved it. The reality of life and lifelong goals doesn't work that way. You could work for 5, 10, 20, 30, 50 years on a goal. And by the time you achieve it, you're not going to feel what you thought you'll feel going into it, setting that goal to begin with. Very, very interesting phenomenon. Very, very interesting, intricate details to the way these things work. The way to deal with that is twofold. First of all, you have to have this information. You have to know that this could happen, because it could be very disappointing if you're not aware of this. You have to be aware of the phenomenon. Information, or otherwise known as education, is a prerequisite for everything. You have to be aware. You have to acknowledge that this could happen. You're listening. I know you have goals. Every person has goals. How many years are you going to work on those goals? When do you actually think you're going to achieve them? As we know, sometimes things take longer, but when you do achieve them in 1, 2, 5, 10 years, do you think you're going to feel the gratification that you set out to achieve it for? So you have to know that you very likely will not, because the journey will change you. That's number one, the information. The other thing to know, if you understand this phenomenon, is to make wise decisions and set goals that you want to achieve for the lifestyle, with or without the gratification attached to it. Think about that for a second. You want to set goals that you want your lifestyle to be about, even if there was no gratification attached to it. What does that mean? if you want to move to another country, let's say you want to make Aliyah, the excitement that you think in your head right now you will feel by living in a new country, by living in a new place, being in a new place, can't be the make or break it. It can't be the reason why you want to live there. In other words, even if you would have none of that gratification, you could only set that goal, or you should only set that goal if you want the lifestyle that comes with your goal minus the gratification. Okay? In business, if you think building a billion-dollar business is going to gratify you in a certain way, you should put in all of that hard work that you're putting in to build and own the business, knowing that you might not have any of that gratification. And then you have to ask yourself, do I really want that thing that I'm working towards? This sounds a little trippy, but it actually changes the entire dynamic and question of what we really want in life. What do you really want? Not what's going to give you gratitude for a couple minutes, because we're dispelling that now by saying that a lot of the stuff that you think is going to give you gratitude, gratification, is actually never going to come to fruition. So the question then becomes, what do you really want in life? Because every goal you set, every choice you make, has repercussions, ramifications, right? When you go into a relationship, because you're thinking of the gratification of having a family and having kids, maybe the you're thinking about the exterior part or the practical parts of it, making those choices to go into a relationship then has a lot of ramifications that affects your entire future. Going into business, for example, you go into business, right? Thinking that you want to make money. So 2-3 guys come together, we're going to business partners, we're going to partner up and we're going to build an amazing business and we're going to have a lot of money, and with money I'll be able to do X, Y, and Z. Again, that gratification. Ask yourself, if that gratification doesn't exist, do you still want the hard work involved? Do you still want to be the person that you'll need to become and are and be while you build the business? Because remember, as you're building the business, you're changing as a person. Your environment changes you. All right, so I don't know if I'm quite hitting the spot here. When you make a fucking choice in life, a big choice, a big decision, whether it's going into a relationship, starting a business, buying something, moving somewhere, putting your kid into a different school, changing your lifestyle, when you make these big decisions, it's cause and effect. For example, when you go into business, for money, you're only thinking about the money, the gratification that you'll have when you have the money, or the practicality of it. You'll be able to afford your bills. You're not thinking that business will change you as an individual. The people you work with on a day-to-day basis, your colleagues, your partners, the people that you interact with on a day-to-day, they will change you. In other words, you will change as a person. The person you were before you went in will change because of all of these interactions. Getting married with someone will change you. Everything you do, having a child, will change you. The thing that you did then becomes about, well, not it becomes about, the life aspect of it, the experience of you changing and dealing with the day-to-day is so much more meaningful and has so much more weight than what you thought you're going to get out of that decision. I don't know if it's, I feel like I'm not hitting, quite the words that I'm trying to hit to explain this, but I feel like I'm touching on it. But if you understand what I'm saying, it basically comes down to this. You have to make big goals and big choices beyond the gratification that you think you're going to get. And you have to want it for the lifestyle that it's going to give you beyond the gratification. Because every big choice that you do changes your lifestyle and changes your entire future. I find these things to be absolutely fascinating. Nonetheless, you still have to make goals. It's not like You know, none of this information should scare you into thinking that, you know, I can't make these big decisions, I can't make these big goals. Not at all. Just the opposite. This is spiritual living. This is healthy living. This is you taking the time to think and be more deliberate in your decision-making, and also more mature, a lot more mature in your decision-making, because you'll know before you go into a decision, before you do something, that this is going to change my life. I may never actually get the gratification, the joy, or the excitement when I finally achieve what I'm working towards. But I want it anyway, because I want everything that comes with that life. And the opposite is true too. When you become this honest and this aware of this phenomenon and you make these decisions deliberately, more often than not, you'll double think, you'll think twice before you make a big decision. Going into business, going into relationship, making big life moves have serious, serious life consequences. And we need to think about them in that sense. So we went from now what? We talked about how to not fall into that void, or if you are in that void, or if you feel like there is a little bit of that uncertainty in your life, you kind of like feel like you're not here nor there. What happened? This, it might be because you've exhausted your goals, your aspirations. The way to fuel it, to reignite it, is to ramp up the gratitude and ramp up the goal setting, but only ramp up the goal setting if you want the life that comes with those goals. Hopefully I was clear enough. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, peace and love.